First John chapter 4. Beloved, of course he's speaking. This book is written to the children of God, the little born ones, my little children. He begins the book out with, and so this is a book written specifically, primarily. See, there's an application. You got to know who the book is speaking to. Who's the author speaking to? And so, when you learn that, then you know the message, who it's adaptable to, and how to apply it, and you can rightly divide it. This is speaking to Christians. This is not speaking to the world. This is speaking to people that know God. And of course, this is a no-so book. This teaches you how that you can know that you know that you know that you know that you know God. You know Him right. You know that you're in the right relationship. You know that you love Him. And you belong to Him. And so that's what this book is about, is that your joy might be full, that you might be walking with God and be an overcomer and be victorious in your life. And so it's a book of victory. It's a book of joy. It's a book of understanding. It's a book that gives you assurance. You want a book that gives you assurance? It's this little book right here. But it also is careful how it gives you that assurance. You got to read all the book. You just can't take one verse. You just can't go to 1 John 5 and deal with that verse that says that because you believe. You got to go to all the rest of the verses that deals with it. If you walk in the law of the Lord, it deals with it. If you have true love of the brethren, and on and on and on. You got to take the whole book, not part of it. Well, this is a very important passage of Scripture here, and it's meant for the believers. And so he said, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they're of God. Why? Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already it is in the world, over 2,000 years ago. Ye are of God, little children, have overcome them, because greater is he that's in you than he that's in this world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God, he that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth, and the spirit of error. The apostle John is desiring to protect the saints of God and to warn them. Let me just say this to you. You know, we talk about one day standing before the Lord, give an account of ourselves. There's going to be some accounting of who you supported. I'm saying who you invested in, time and money, as a Christian. And you will stand there without excuse. Now remember that. Excuses don't hold up at the throne of God. Forget it. You're not going to reason away and say, well, you know, automatically, we do like the ones in there that had the alibi, I bought this, I got this, I got to do this. No alibi, no excuses. When you stand before God, it's just going to be straight on. You did, you didn't, this is why you didn't, and it's going to be, you're going to have to face God over these things. So John wants you to be careful who you're following, what spirit is moving you, what spiritual influence is impacting your life and leading you. And so he wants you to know that you need to know how to discern or to detect a spirit that's not of God. And so he's going to give you some tests here. He's going to give you a standard to go by. He's going to help you to be careful in your life that you're not led astray, you're not influenced by any false spirit. Now there's many spiritual influences in this world that'll seem right, that'll seem religious, that'll seem that they're of God, but it's your job, it's your responsibility to put these influences, spiritual influences that have upon your life to a test. They're very important that you know just where these spirits have come from, whether they're of God, and to know what you're to do with them. And so here it is that John's going to protect you. He's going to, through the Holy Spirit of God, he's going to give you some counsel. This is counsel. This is not only counsel, this is a commandment. It's a responsibility that you're to carry out in examining the spirits. Why? Because there's many false prophets. There's many false teachers gone out into the world. And so, not a few, many, many. More of them than there is of the truth. When you look at Mount Carmel, when you see Elijah up there with the 400 prophets of Baal, I think there was 800 altogether that were against him. Just one man stood. One man there stood, little old Elijah. And here's 800 prophets out there, false prophets. When Micaiah stood before Jehoshaphat, did, there was all the prophets, false prophets, were all prophesying, go up, go up, you'll win the battle, you'll come back, you'll be victorious. Just an old Micaiah. You're not coming back. There's always been false prophets and more false prophets than been true. And so he said there's many, many. And so simply by taking the word many here and knowing the Bible says few there be that find the way, I know that there's going to be more false teachers than there is true teachers. And so it's your job, it's your responsibility. You men, what a burden on your shoulder. What a responsibility you have, you men, to protect your family from hearing error. That's a big responsibility. That you men have to know your Bible, know how to discern the spirits, and know which one is right. That spirit can come from a missionary. It can come from an evangelist. It can come from a teacher. It can come from a writer. My, I don't say much often, but boy, I'm telling you, there's books out there that are dangerous. They're so subtle. They can sound, they can be so persuasive in their reasoning. And my, if you don't know how to try that spirit and to put that spirit to the test, can I say to you that it will lead you into beliefs and thoughts that certainly are against God. Now, he's given us one of the first tests here, and I'll not tarry this long. I want to come back to it. I want to really deal with this first test that he deals with about whether you believe Jesus Christ come in the flesh. Was God incarnate? Was God really personified in a human body? Did he have a body just like us? Did Jesus Christ really come in the flesh? Did he have, now here's a question, 99% no doubt of people that are teachers, evangelists, and preachers will fail this test right here. Did he have the same weaknesses that you have? Now most would say no, he didn't. And so they don't really believe that he came in, totally in the flesh. Now, I said I'm not going to tarry with this long. It's a very important, it's a crucial doctrine. It's a critical doctrine. It's one of the first tests that you find out whether people really are of an anti, which means not only anti-Christ spirit, but an anti or against God. Against what God tells, what God teaches. You have to believe properly and correctly according to the Bible about the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. He lived a virtuous life. And did he live it? Did he live it in deity? Or did he live it in humanity? Crucial. Crucial. There was a sect, a group, a religious zealots that were back in the first century called the Gnostics. Bob is dealt with at different times here and preached on. And I recommend that you, if you haven't listened to the message, you get the message. It's online, plus we get it out of the tape category. But you need to listen to that message on Gnostics, and I'm not going to go into Gnostics this morning. But one of the things the Gnostics taught, and one of the most people believe, that this was written primarily to deal with the Gnostics, is they believed that all matter was evil. And of course, your body is matter. And so they could not possibly reconcile how deity could be an evil body. The Gnostics haven't left. There's still a majority of the people that believe that the body is evil. They don't claim the name of Gnostics, and they don't say that they're a Gnostic follower, but they still believe the body is evil. And so they will not accept the fact that Jesus really was a totally human being on the human side. Now let me just put a little thought in there. One of the reasons that his, and what a shame, and I'll get into this again, what a shame. But they can't really, if you don't believe he's human, then you don't recognize his virtuous life, that he really had to resist evil. He really had to deal with temptation. He really did live a virtuous life that was a perfect example for us to follow in his steps. The Bible says we're to walk even as he walked. But now if you don't believe he was human, if you believe that he was an overcomer with deity power, which you do not have the separate deity power of the type that he was deity, was God incarnate. Can I say to you, if you just believe that he did everything in deity power, then it would be impossible for us to walk even as he walked. So he really wouldn't be a good example to follow. It's slight seem of that virtuous life that's held up before you, yet without sin. And so God wants you to recognize that life, and I'll deal with that later in another message. Let me say one more thing. If he wasn't human, then you wipe out the atonement. Because if he wasn't human, he couldn't die. But what a valuable truth that needs to be dealt with here. And I'll, Lord, my helper, I'll get back into it as Lord enables us. But it's one of the tests that you have, just to see what people think and believe and teach and reason on the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it's dealing with. His physical life, he really did get tired. Did you know that? You know he got tired? Did you know he got hungry? He gets hungry. And you know that he was really tempted? Really was? At all points, just like you are. He's tempted. He could become weak in the flesh. And I'll deal with that when the time comes. But he really did have a human body. And if you don't recognize that, God says, mark that person down as being against me. They're against what I teach. They're against what I did. They're against the truth of the Word of God. They're of a spirit that's not of God. They're of a spirit of Antichrist. And so that's one of the ways, and can I say to you, this really does divide. This really does draw a real line. There are scores of people that do not accept the fact that Jesus Christ really came in the flesh. They believe he came partially in the flesh. They believe he was kind of a, maybe like an angel comes in a body like. You know, angels can come and present themselves like a body. Do you know all the reasons, all the questions about the resurrection and the death of Christ? All the reasoning and all the questions that's been raised, whether he really did die or it was just like he looked like he died and he didn't really die. You know where that all comes from? Not believing he came in the flesh. That's where all those questions come from. They don't truly accept it. And so, Lord, our helper, we'll get into that fact and deal with that. But I wanted to slip over this morning and just deal a few moments with the test he gives us on the end here of the spirit of truth, the spirit of error. He begins to tell us one of the ways that we can discern the spirits, to destroy the spirits, know whether this influence that we're being impressed with, this spirit that's trying to control and teach us or instruct us or influence us in some way, whether it's of God or not. You'd best know, believe me, you need to practice this often. You need to practice this daily on who you're listening to, who you're receiving. You need to be real cautious and careful. Walk circumspectly. You need to really think and consider this. Somebody, some spirit, trying to get a hold of you. Some spirit, maybe it can't get inside you, but it sure can influence you from the outside. It sure can make an impression upon you and trouble you or confuse you or cause you to be unsettled. My, there's all kinds of spirits that keep you from having your joy. That's what this book is about. Having the victory in your life, being able to walk with God. There's all kinds of spirits that's meant, if to do nothing else. Would you look at me and listen to me? If nothing else, just to distract you. You got a job to do. You got a great God to serve. You've got a task. You're to be a laborer in his vineyard. You're to be a workman. You were made and created to labor in the work of the Lord and do something for God and reach towards the crown. And there's all kinds of spirits that's out to distract and just sidetrack you, get you astray, and get you majoring on something that's foolish and not worthwhile spending your time on. I'm not going to go into it, but there's so many different areas people get off in and thinking themselves real spiritual and really growing in grace, but all the time people major. Can I say to you, you can major on dieting, on foods. You can. You can get all, man, I'm going to become real spiritual and just all you do is study about, you know, the physical body and taking care of the body and different diets and all that stuff and exercise. And you can get way off in left field just majoring on that. When body exercise profiteth. And so there's certainly spirits that we need to discern and detect. And here's a test that God gives us here in verses 5 and 6. I want to look at that portion this morning, and we'll definitely come back and deal with this. I'm not going to be done with this portion of Scripture, Lord, my helper, for a good while. There's so much in here. It's so important for you. He says here, one of the ways that you can run this test, this standard that he has, that you're to apply, is to watch the people. And he says, they are of the world. He's talking about the false teachers, the false preachers, false whoever it might be, religious instructors, writers, whoever they might be. They're of the world, therefore speak to the world, and the world heareth them. We're of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth, the spirit of error. So he's telling us that one of the things that you can do to protect yourself from being led astray is open your eyes real wide and see who this religious instructor or this spirit is leading you to follow. See who else is following. Take a look at his crowd, his followers, Look at his congregation. Watch and see who he, she attracts. I got to put that in there nowadays because we got a lot of women teachers. I can't say preachers, but I guess that's what they call themselves. Writers of books. There's a lot of those books that these women are writing that you definitely do not need to read. They're instructing you. They have a spirit that's trying to influence your mind in reasoning. And some of the most dangerous books out there are being written by women. Some preacher called me and asked me if I ever read that certain book. I said, no. He said, why? I said, written by a woman. Well, he said, it's a good book. I mean, she knows God. I said, God told me not for a woman to teach or usurp authority over man. I'm not supposed to listen to her. Is that what the Bible said? Is the Bible true? All of an authority? I'm not supposed to let a woman teach me. I'm sorry. Good godly woman. I mean, there's good godly women. I'm supposed to be a spiritual enough where I can teach women. Don't that go over good? That's a real now message, isn't it? That's a now message, amen. But I'm saying that we need to be able to recognize that these people are different. Now, I want you to follow with me just a few minutes this morning. God, how did we ever lose our time? Did you all stay on time? That was the Spirit. Stole that time, wasn't it? God makes a division here that you must recognize in order to administer this test. You cannot administer this test. You cannot obey the Scriptures here unless you recognize this complete, total separation of the people. There is people that are of the world, and there's people that are of God. And they are different. They're not one and the same. I know the lines have been about wiped out in our day. They're confused. It's one of the reasons that we need to preach along this line. But can I say to you, there is a difference, a complete difference. A difference is light and darkness. These people are not one and the same. They don't live in both realms. They're either children of light or children of darkness. They're not one and the same. And you cannot practice this. You cannot apply this. You cannot administer this test and know what you're talking about unless you will honestly let the Bible be the final authority and say there is a difference between people that are of the world and people that are not of the world. You've got to be able to identify that crowd. You've got to have discernment. Preacher, you ought not judge. The Bible's done it for you, so you can feel comfortable. Just say, well, the Bible says. And can I say to you, if you can't discern between evil and good, then the book of Hebrews chapter 5 tells you at the end of it that you're not very grown up, that you're just a minor in the spiritual things, or you're, if you like that word, immature. What he said? He said you still have to have milk. You don't have meat. You don't understand the difference between good and evil. You ought to do that once you start growing in the grace of knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. You ought to be able to discern between good and evil. You ought to know who's who. And if you can't tell which person's of the world, can I say to you, then you're not going to be able to administer this test. You're not going to be able to tell if somebody's of God. Now, there is a people that are of this world. They're distinguished by it. Their characteristics tell you they are of this world. There's biblical evidence that gives you that there's people that are not of God, that they belong to this world system. This world has a course, Ephesians 2:2. And it has a system that controls people or molds people to be fashioned people of the world. The Bible talks about the principality of the air. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 tells you about the god of this world who blinds the minds of them which believe not. Ephesians 2 tells you about the principality of the air, the one that you walk according to where he told you to live. And so can I say to you that there is a spirit of this world. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. It says you've not received the spirit of this world. There's a spirit of this world that controls this world, influences this world, causes people to stay in step. This world has a mold. It has a fashion that it wants to design you as a certain type of people. No wonder God's word says, be not conformed to this world. Jesus prayed in his high priestly prayer, saying that they are not of the world. Now, can I say to you that the Christian has been delivered from being a person of the world? You're in the world, but you're not of the world. The world does not have control of you. The world does not have the influence over you. The world is not the one that calls the shots and tells you how to live. You don't walk according to the course of this world no more. Once you're redeemed, once you're saved, you're delivered from that power, that spirit, that dominating spirit, that domain, that realm that ruled over you and said, be this type of person. Can I say to you, the world and fashions people through its music, through what we call the culture, whatever you say, or it could be through literature, it could be through philosophy, it could be through relationships, whatever it might be, it's fashioning a person to be of this world. And so you need to be able to discern who is of the world. In this same little book over in chapter 2, it says, love not the world, neither the things of the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. Well, preacher, how can you tell if somebody is really of the world? Well, let me give you just one little test. Let me give you one little test. Just one little test. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Apostle Paul, right under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, said in Romans chapter 6, that to ever whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are. Now listen to me carefully. One of the ways you can tell whether a person is of the world is who they'll give their first obedience to. If it comes to being holy and obeying the Bible, if they'd rather stay in step, in fashion, fad, whatever it might be with the world, then they have a love for the world more than they do for the Lord Jesus Christ. The little verse I quote so often, why call ye me Lord, Lord, if you do not the things which I say? And I say to you, one of the ways you can tell if a man is speaking under the inspiration, under the power, under the anointing, and preaching the truth, rightly dividing the Bible, is look at his congregation, see if they're people that's keeping step with the world, the fashions, the fad, the music, if they're keeping in step with the philosophy of this world, if it's a kind of a universal language. This worldly language has no barriers. It has no colors, no creeds. It has no personal particulars on who will listen to it. Every person of the world can identify this message. It speaks to the desires of their life, to the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. It ministers to what's within him and the desires within him. They all understand this language of the world because they're of the world, and you can identify them by the way that they will follow a worldly type preacher. I mean, you can see it in their life. You can see it in the way that they desire to hear the things that please them. John stole my message this morning. Went right down that road. I said, look at John. Just look at him up there. He's going to steal my thunder before he gets done.
But can I say that's exactly what people will do that want to stay, or a religion of convenience. They want something that just allows them to feel good about themselves, but yet allows them to feel comfortable in this world. Now, can I say that if you and I feel comfortable in this world, we need to re-examine ourselves. You ought to feel very uncomfortable in this present world. I mean, you just don't fit. You don't fit in with the music. I mean, that music, that ought to be offensive to you. Do you know what I was thinking? No, I'll just get on this line of thought just a minute. Are you with me? You won't be. Are you with me? You know, I was thinking, you know, more and more you're seeing that the fashions of this world are becoming more seductive, more sensual, wicked. I mean, it's gotten to be more show this, show more. And every bit of the, even the men's apparel is more sensual. It's more sensual. But now the women's apparel has got to, well, what little they have on, has got to be to where it's constantly, and this is a universal language of the world. Wherever you go. Did you ever notice the people that's popular in America are popular in China, in France, Australia, the jungles of Africa? The same song artists and all these people and Hollywood stars, they're just as popular over there. It's a universal language. But can I say to you that this, I'm going to get back to this nudity. We ought to be a people that hate it. Now, I want to pump this into you just a few minutes this morning. And instead of us tolerating it and, you know, having problems with it, now would you listen to me carefully? If you really love the Lord Jesus Christ, you ought to hate nudity. Ye that love the Lord, hate it. Why, preacher? Why? It's sending a message. It's sending a message to say, I want you to have evil thoughts or to lust after me. It's saying to you, I want you to desire me and be unfaithful to your Lord. That's what nudity is saying. It's saying, I want you to be unfaithful to your wife. And if nothing else, I want you to commit adultery with me in your heart. That's what this seductive, suggestive, sensual apparel is saying. Is I want you to violate your God, to be unfaithful to Him, to be somebody that's an adulterer in your mind and heart. Now that ought to make you mad. If we get to the state, and I was meditating on this one, if we get to the state, we would, listen to me carefully. If we get to the state to where we had a true hatred for it, I hope you listen to me. If we get to a state to where we have a real hatred for it, it wouldn't be the temptation it is now. I hope all of you have a hatred for perversion, incest, sodomy. I believe you got a hatred for it. I hope you do. And so, it's not something that attracts you. This isn't constantly bothering you. It's not something that lures you. You hate it. It's of this world. It's of the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes. And so you hate it. It's against your God. It's against His Word. And it's a perversion. It's a destruction of mankind. And so you hate it. Now, can I say to you, it doesn't bother you or tempt you, does it? It's despicable unto you. It's an abomination unto you. You're not tempted with abominations. Are you following my reasoning? There has to be. Now, I'm trying to be careful and tender. There has to be something in here. Some embers or coals burning that the devil can flame, fan those coals and build a fire. See, he came to Christ. Christ was human. But Christ didn't have the embers burning down on the inside. Are you following me? It's a big word in the Bible. But what it means is longing for the forbidden. Longing for the forbidden. And if you and I build a hatred, if we'd see these things are against our God, the psalmist joined in with God and he says, whatever you hate, I hate with a perfect hatred. I'm saying if we get to where we'd hate all sensuality, all nudity, all these things that are destroying our homes, destroying our daughters' and wives' reputations. You mean you wouldn't mind somebody thinking that your wife was possibly unfaithful or easy or seductive, or maybe that your wife was flirting? Would you want men to think your wife is flirting with other men and trying to attract men to her body, and she was trying to have a relationship? Would you want men to think that of your wife? Is that the message of the fashion of this world? Why don't you agree with me? They're of the world. If I sit up here and I start preaching to you in a way, in a manner that lets you know that I was happy with women dressing as sensual and seductive as they possibly can, who do you think would listen to me? Would it be God's people listen to me that believe in modest apparel, a woman professing godliness and dressing in modest apparel? Or do you think the world that wants that, and that's the course of the world, do you think they'd listen to me? Why don't you look at the congregations of the pauper preachers? Why don't you look at them? That's what it's telling you to do. Who's listening to them? Who's there of the world? And they speak of the world. They've got the language the world wants to hear. They've got the description of the lifestyle the world wants to live. It's not offensive to them. You don't like to sit and listen to a person that's offensive to you. Goes against the grain. We like to hear people that tell us we look good and we're right. You like to be told you're wrong? Anybody here like to be told they're wrong? No. One of the best things, one of the greatest lessons that you can learn, one of the greatest lessons you can learn in Christianity is this: to receive correction. If your mom and dad, would you please listen to me? If your mom and dad never taught you to receive corrections, always buck up, sass back, think your parents are wrong, you shouldn't be corrected, it's going to be hard for them to listen to the Bible when it says you're wrong. If you're not like Christ, you're wrong. I don't care who you are. If you don't live like Christ, you don't walk like Christ, you don't love like Christ, you don't serve like Christ, say, you're wrong. You're wrong. The Bible tells us here's how you make the test. Are they of the world? Are they singing the world's tune? Are they preaching, teaching things that the world wants to hear? That I'm great, I'm wonderful, I'm good to go, I can live like I want to. God's not interested in my conversation or my lifestyle. He's just interested in me just believing in Him. That's all that matters. Woo! Tell it again. Tell it again. Heaping to themselves teachers, they want something that just tickles the intellect, makes them feel good about themselves. They're of the world, therefore they speak of the world. And the world listens. Watch them. Watch how a person that truly walks with God, it's offensive to hear their teaching or preaching or whatever it might be. It's offensive to them. That ain't of God. Old preachers just say, they just don't know God. They don't know God. They don't know God. Can I say to you, a man that loves God, walks with God, knows God, he's going to show you that things of this world and the things you need to stay away from, the things you need to avoid and try to help keep pointing it out. Say, that's of the world. That's of the world. Don't go that way. Don't conform to that. Don't pick up that lifestyle. Don't pick up that habit. Don't pick up that hairstyle. Don't pick up that vocabulary. It shocks me. As a little boy, I've told you 100 times, little boy, just a little boy, I could not pick up the slang or the vocabulary of this world. My dad wouldn't let me. Oh, no. Anything he thought was slang of this world that might have some kind of other connotations to it that might be evil, if I didn't shut up, I got sore lips. I'm telling you. They're of the world. How do you know? They're of the world. They walk with the world. They love the world. They're involved in the world. They're controlled by the world. They're conforming to the world. They look like the world. All they do is think of the world. The world controls them. The first act of obedience, of submission, is to the world. Proves they love things of this world. You will have a battle, and here's where it's in you, and that's why one of the reasons that this old man has to die. Let me just give you this. Let me leave this with you. Every one of us have in us a desire, strong desire, one of the strongest forces within you, to belong, to fit in. Not one of us want to be an oddball. You don't want to be that. You want to, you want people to pat you on the shoulder and come over and talk, pick you out to talk to you and like you and tell you their problems or just talk to you. We want to fit in. We want to belong. We want to be liked. We want to be part and a lot of the people around us. Who wants to be an outsider? Who wants to be an off-cast? Who wants to be somebody that everybody ignores or avoids like they got a bad odor about them? Nobody wants that. Nobody likes that. Everyone, you and their little group and discussion and all that stuff, all of us want that. We want that. That's a pull. That's a natural pull within you. And if you don't put it to death, look at me, listen to me. If you don't deal with it, if you don't deny yourself, that's yourself. That's yourself wanting to be accepted. If you don't deny yourself, then you'll be forced to conform to the people around you so that you can fit in. Can two walk together except they be? You can't fit in. Now listen to me carefully. You can never fit in without conforming. You can't do it. You can't be an oddball. You just see, you step into a conversation of 4 or 5 people, girls or boys, whoever you are, and they're all talking about maybe some movie they seen or maybe some fashion or something like that, or maybe they're talking about some person having a illicit affair or some maybe they're telling dirty jokes, and you step in the middle of that little circle going through their little whatever it might be conversation of the world, and you step in there and you start talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. See if they welcome you. Say, yes, we all want to hear you. Speak up. Just let me clarify. Jesus made it clear, if you'll follow Him, you'll follow Him. This world will hate you. It will literally hate you. You will be sickening to them. The more righteous you stand, the more suffering of denial and separation and mockery and scorning that you'll receive, the more you stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. The more you look like Him, the more you conform to Him, the more that your values are like His values, your reasoning like His reasoning, the more you stand for the truth and walk in the light, the less this world will have anything to do with you. The only reason people want you around them is they see something in you that's like them. They can identify with. They're of the world. Therefore, they speak of the world. The world pricks up their ears and says, yes, they're one of us. The world receives its own. The world says in John chapter 15, I believe, it says the world, Jesus said, if I were the world, the world would love its own. He said to Pilate, if I was of the world, then would my servants fight. I'm not of the world. You need to read John 17, where Jesus prayed his high priestly prayer. And he said, Father, they're in the world, but they're not of the world. I pray you'd keep them from evil. We need to have the line drawn clear, the division, the standard real clear. They're not of God. They're of the world. So can I say to you, how can I know? How can I tell? How can I discern? They're not of God. They listen to the world's message. They receive what the world has to say. It's the line of thought, philosophy, reasoning that just fits their life. Shall we stand? Can I ask you, what realm do you feel most comfortable with? Honestly, now let me just say this. I'll be kind, but I'm going to be honest with you. I have a real problem understanding this. You might help me. I have a real problem understanding how some people would much rather find their friends outside of the church. Now, you're going to have to explain it to me. People that don't go to church, don't believe like they believe, don't dress like they dress, don't live like they live, don't love their God, don't love the Word of God, but yet they can find closer friendships with people of the world than people. Well, preacher, the people of God are not perfect. Neither are you. And if everybody told you all your faults, you'd be shocked. Isn't that a good way to end it? Let's go home. That's your very best day. Very best day. Zip. Altogether vanity. Little children, 11, I want you to beware. There's a spirit of this world that'll try to befriend you, try to deceive you, try to attract you in. They want you to, listen to me carefully. They want you to be like them because they don't want to be like you. You understand that? They want you to change. You see, the godlier you live, the more it rebukes their wickedness. So the writer of Proverbs says that they won't rest or give their eyes sleep. Are you listening carefully? They'll not rest, give their eyes sleep until they've made somebody fall. That's why they tease you on the job. That's why some of your lost family members will just try to provoke you to get mad. They'll not rest until they knock down your testimony. Spoil your water to where your fountain is corrupted. That's their desire. Bring you down so they still feel good about themselves. Beloved, try the spirits. See what it is that's trying to influence you, attract you, draw you in, lead you away from Christ, cause you to doubt the truth. Check them out. See what kind of life they're living, who's listening to them, who they're following. See if they're of the world. Father, thank you for your precious word. Thank you for the time together. You're good to us, and I love you. And I thank you for your sweetness of your spirit and the word of God. Just like you said, will know the truth, and the truth shall make us free. And I believe that. I believe that's exactly how it works. We read your word, study your word, meditate on your word, that we may observe to do according to all that is written therein. Then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, you said. Then shalt thou have good success. I believe the word of God can direct us in the right way to walk. Thank you for each one that's here. I pray that they receive the word. I pray they'll think of these things. I pray it would stir us and challenge us, correct us, instruct us in righteousness. May they search these things out. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen. You are dismissed.